utterance manifestations of Holy Spirit and the revelation manifestations. And this morning we're going to start an extended period of this camp looking at the three revelation manifestations of Holy Spirit, which are word of knowledge, word of wisdom, and discerning of spirits. Let's remember that the great revelation that we have is God's Word. All of the Scripture came by revelation because holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. All Scripture God breathed. And the Word, the written Word, is the Word that pertains to life and godliness. There is not an aspect of human life that isn't governed by and described to us in the Word of God. It's the Word of life. And there isn't an aspect of godliness that isn't described to us. But remember, the Word of God liveth and abideth forever, and it deals with life in general. There's certainly many specific things that are in the written Word of God, but as far as specific guidance for specific situations, God has given us the Spirit, and we saw that last night. Specific guidance to individuals at specific times is one of the hallmarks of word of knowledge, word of wisdom, and or discerning of spirits. God has covered life for us completely. And he did it, of course, through the work of his Son, Jesus Christ, because he's a complete Savior. So we have the written word to walk upon. And you know, just day in and day out, there's so much in God's word to believe and to claim. So much to walk upon. There might be times where we don't know all the specifics of what our life is about and what we're doing. But there's a lot of things that we do know to do day by day. You know, I just think of, for example, prayer. One camp a few years ago, we spent the whole week just looking at the subject of prayer. And God would have us to pray all the time, in everything, for everybody. And he declares that he will hear and answer our prayers. So there might be times where I don't know what to do, but one thing I do know to do, what is it? Pray! You know, and that comes from the written word. Now, sometimes specific objects of prayer, God can direct us to pray for by revelation. Another truth, God says that we are to take the word of God to the world. We have been given the ministry of reconciliation. Remember, Jesus Christ said, go ye into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. I don't know if that includes Benny, but maybe. Yeah, every creature. You know, go and share the word. So wherever you go, you know what you can do? Share God's word. But there's wonderful examples. In fact, we read one of them last night. Remember Philip and the eunuch? Where God gave Philip specific direction of where to go. Out into the desert. And arranged by his guidance, by his wonderful providence, this very miraculous encounter between Philip and a eunuch so that the eunuch could get saved. The written word tells us generally what to do, and then God also gives us specific guidance and direction by the revelation manifestations. I think of this in light of how we are so fully furnished by God for whatever we encounter in life. Hebrews chapter 1 is a great place for us to start concerning our study of the revelation manifestations. It says in verse 1, God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by who? His Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. So this is talking about God speaking to his people. And it tells us some very wonderful information. It tells us that God speaks unto his people at sundry times and in diverse manners. Now, probably you don't use regularly the word sundry, do you? Unless it's, you know, a certain day of the week where you get the, you know, you get the fatter newspaper, right? No, it's not that. And really, when we use the word diverse, you know, what's that talking about? Scuba, you know? But this is Old English. These are the same words, and it means varied or diverse. So God, who at varied times and in varied manners spoke unto us. One of the ways he spoke unto God's people is by the prophets. A great way listed here is that he spoke unto us by sending his son, Jesus Christ. Remember, Jesus Christ is the Word. So when people would see Jesus Christ, they would see God's Word, God's declaration of himself via his son. But God speaks to people in different ways and at different times. There's a lot of different ways that God has spoken to people. Have you ever read in the Old Testament about the record of Balaam? It's quite a record. You know, Balaam was a prophet of God. Balaam had the Spirit of God, and he spoke some incredible prophecies concerning the coming of Christ, and wonderful guy. And he's also a really corrupt man. You know, as crooked as a dog's hind leg. He's quite a guy to read about. But God spoke unto Balaam out of the mouth of an ass. I would say that's a varied way. You know, somebody once said, when you read the record of Balaam and the ass talking, it was two asses talking together. I mean, there's a record in the Old Testament where God spoke to a drunken king by the handwriting on the wall. You know, a lot of different ways that God has spoken to people. He doesn't always speak to us in the same way. And that's something for us to note. God knows each and every one of us individually. And he works with each and every one of us individually. God will speak to you in a way that you can understand. Duh. And what you might understand, or the way that you might understand it, might be different than the way that I might understand it. So God speaks to us in different ways or different manners. And then it also says to us that God speaks unto us at different times. Okay, now that implies, if you stop and think about it, that God is not speaking unto us all the time. Some people have gotten tricked on this when it comes to Revelation, thinking that, oh, if I just have a question, then whatever pops into my head is God speaking to me, because God's talking to me all the time. Have you ever been around people like that? It kind of gives you the creeps. You know, everything that they get is revelation. God, in varied ways and at varied times, speaks unto us. But one thing, let's remember, God does speak to us. Look at Philippians chapter 2. Bless you. If there's a verse of Scripture to retain in your memory from this week, this is it. This is one that's just such a blessing to carry with you wherever you go. And it's perhaps something that you've already learned or already retimerized. But Philippians 2:13 says, "For it is God which worketh," where? "In you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure." Now, this is a simple verse of Scripture. It says God works in you. And he works in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Now, if I'm reading this right, tell me, maybe Greek, text check in the back room, Bruce, you know, check the Aramaic. But as far as I can tell, there's no ifs in this verse. There's no buts in this verse. This is just a simple statement of truth that God works in you to will and to do of his good pleasure. It's not God will work in you if you do this. And so oftentimes we've been taught that God's going to work in you if you, you know, quit chewing tobacco, you know, if you slim down a little bit, if you, you know, fill in the blank. This just says God works in his people. And you know what? He does. You know, God has worked in your life. Am I right?
Yes.
God works in our lives now, and God will work in our lives in the future. For it is God which worketh in you to will and to do of his good pleasure. He works in his people. Great verse to be mindful of. Look at Psalm 32. Preparation for this camp, I taught some of this material in part, and one of the things that I like to do is just ask people, has God ever talked to you? Well, has he? Because you know why? He works in you to will and to do of his good pleasure. There might be times where he's talked to us and we didn't recognize it. There might even have been a few times where God worked in us and then we didn't do what he said to do. But God does work in his people. God works in you to will and to do of his good pleasure. Psalm 32 is a verse that's akin to that. In verse 8, God says, I will instruct thee. Again, as far as I can tell, there's no if in that little phrase, is there? God says, I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. Man, you talk about a promise of God. You know, how about that one? Psalm 32:8. Where it says, I will instruct thee. Hey, could you ask for a better instructor than God Almighty? God says, I will teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. This is God's desire. You know, he's the one to direct our lives. And boy, how fantastic is that? Because he knows. He knows what's right and he knows what's good. He is all good. I will instruct, teach, and guide thee in the way which thou shalt go. Look at Proverbs chapter 3. Now we want to learn how to receive revelation. That God gives it is undeniable. He's not giving it all the time, but he does give it. He gives it at different times and in different ways. In Proverbs chapter 3, again a familiar section of scripture, it says, trust in the Lord with how much of thine heart? All thine heart. And lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Again, what a great promise of God. Now, verse 6 does talk about, and verse 5, talk about things that we need to do. First thing it says is trust the Lord. You know, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. You know why we can trust in the Lord so completely with all our heart? It's because he's trustworthy. You know, we can depend on God with all our heart because he's dependable. We can rely upon God with all our heart because he's reliable. So trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. Hey, we do have understanding about things, you know, about our life. This doesn't say don't have your own understanding, but it says don't what? Lean on it. See, we lean on him. Don't we sing a song where we do this, you know, leaning on the everlasting arms. Don't lean on your own understanding. Yeah, we have understanding of situation, but don't lean on that. These are things that God directs us to do, to trust him. Don't lean to our own understanding. And then it says in verse 6, in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. This verse, as much as any other verse that I've been able to work and find from the scripture, tells us how to receive revelation. Because it says, in all thy ways, do what? Acknowledge him. Perhaps we need to consider the word acknowledge. Because at times the word acknowledge in English can have sort of a weak meaning. Where, you know, somebody might get up and say something, or you might hear about something, and they say, well, yeah, I acknowledge that. That's kind of weak. Yeah, I acknowledge that. But really, the word acknowledge means be constantly aware of. To be constantly aware of God. This is what we're to do. To receive direction for our paths, to be constantly aware of him. In all thy ways, acknowledge him, and then here's the promise, he shall direct thy, what? Paths. See, I will teach, I will instruct, I will guide. Our job, our part of the bargain, of the partnership, is to be constantly aware of him. Look at Ephesians chapter 1. There's a phrase that it expresses this constant awareness of God. It's not in your Bible, but it's very helpful, I believe. And it's the phrase, practice the presence of God. It just says in a little different way, be constantly aware of God. Practice the presence of God. Hey, where is God?
In us?
Yeah. Yeah. God in Christ, where? In you. Had a funny little story. The Pfeiffer family, they have a just great family, but Joseph Pfeiffer, their two-year-old, or three, is he two or three? He's two. You know, as parents do, they've been teaching them, well, where's God? You know, and people all think, well, God's up there. But then, you know, teach them, well, God's in you. You know, God's in you. So Joseph was walking around. Mommy said, hey, Joseph, where's God? And Joseph said, he's in my shirt. Hey, so remember, God's in your shirt. Hey, God is in you. So, you know, we can be constantly aware of that presence. God is in us. You know, and God works in us by that gift of Holy Spirit. God works in us to will and to do of his good pleasure. Ephesians chapter 1, this is God's prayer for the church. It says in verse 16, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that, and then here's the prayer for the church, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Some translations have this very accurately, revelation in the acknowledging of him. This is God's will. that God would give to us revelation in the acknowledging of Him, in the constant awareness of Him, in the practicing the presence of Him. One of the things that becomes clear as you read and study the Bible is that God oftentimes says the same thing in many different ways. For example, to describe to us the gift of Holy Spirit, I one time read from Matthew through the rest of the New Testament. There's like about 70 or 75 different terms in which God describes the gift of Holy Spirit to us. He calls it the promise of the Father. He calls it the Comforter. We looked at some of those yesterday. A lot of different ways. He calls it Christ in you. But God using just wonderful descriptive terms so that we can understand it, so that we can get it. So that we get how to receive from Him. Well, one of the terms He uses is acknowledge Him. You know, be constantly aware of Him. What was it that was in the manifestations today where Andrew, where he said, what is it? Constantly look unto, what was the, do you remember the, keep your eyes fixated on me. That's it. Keep your eyes fixated on me. Now that's another way of saying constantly be aware of me, right? You know, how often does God say, listen unto me? You know, look unto me. You know, He's saying the same thing in different ways so that we can get it. Here it says, revelation in the acknowledging of Him. Look at Psalm 25. It says in verse 4, show me thy ways, O Lord. Teach me thy, what? Paths. Verse 5, lead me in thy truth and teach me. For thou art the God of my salvation. On thee do I wait all the day. You know, here it talks about waiting on God, for God to teach, for God to guide. You know, well, what's that waiting? You know, it's just having the awareness of God, you know, expecting to hear from Him. It's an expectation. That's another way of saying it. Expecting to hear from God. Now, does God talk to you all the time? No, not directly by revelation. But does He talk to you? Yes. So, in the meantime, what do? We just practice His presence. We're blessed. We think God's word. We're happy. We're excited. We pray. We do so many wonderful things that we know to do. But we have the expectation, the awareness constantly of His presence. We acknowledge Him, and He promises to direct our paths. You understand? Look at Psalm 123. I mentioned how often God says, look unto me. Well, how about this? Psalm 123. It says, unto thee, unto God, lift I up mine eyes, O thou that dwellest in the heavens. Behold, as the eyes of servants look unto the hand of their masters, and as the eyes of a maiden unto the hand of her mistress, so our eyes wait upon the Lord our God until that He hath mercy upon us. You know, looking unto God, lifting up our eyes unto God, you know, expecting Him to direct our paths. to give us needed guidance of what to do. Here it says, the eyes of servants look unto the hand of their masters. Now, you know, we're not that familiar with this in our current culture of the United States, but back in the lands and times of the Bible, there were servants, and they were trained to look to their master or to their mistress for direction. For example, one example that's been used is that, let's say you were hosting a dinner, and the person that was the host or the hostess would oftentimes have prearranged hand signals with the servants that were serving the meal as far as what to do. They'd have little hand signals that would direct, for example, the clearing of the table, the bringing of the next course, filling up, you know, somebody's glass of wine, or whatever it might be. They'd have little prearranged signals, and so those servants would be directed to look unto the hand of their master or to the mistress for direction. That's what this is talking about. Let's read it again. Behold, as the eyes of servants look unto the hand of their masters, and as the eyes of a maiden unto the hand of her mistress, so our eyes wait upon who? The Lord our God, until that he hath mercy upon us. And that mercy would be that he would direct us, that he would guide us, that he would instruct us, he would tell us what to do. Looking unto God. Let's go to James chapter 1. There's an aspect of looking unto God that is described here in James chapter 1. In verse 5, it says, if any of you lack what?
Wisdom.
Okay, let's stop right there. Wisdom is what to do, basically. Okay, have you ever been in a situation where you don't know what to do? Yeah. Like, you know, a lot? So, I mean, okay, we can all relate. If any of you lack wisdom, let him, what? Ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally and abradeth not, and it shall be, what? Given him. Now, this is very wonderful. But this would be something that we prompt, something that we initiate when we understand that we lack what? Wisdom. When we don't know what to do. So you get to the point where you don't know what to do. What can we do? Ask God. See, where we can go to God and ask him for guidance, for direction. Father, what do I do? Great thing to incorporate into our life. God promises that that wisdom, that needed guidance, shall be given unto us. Terrific. But you know, throughout the Bible, many, many of the records, I would say, you know, just from having studied the topic some, that most, a majority of the situations where people receive revelation are not the result of people asking, but they're the result of God initiating by him giving the revelation. See, I used to understand the how of receiving revelation is being to ask. That's what I thought of, you know, and that's what I would teach, is if you want a revelation, ask. Well, how about the situation you don't know anything about? You know, which maybe outnumber the situation we do know something about. I'll show you one. Look at Acts chapter 9. And there's a lot of them in the Bible. Acts 9 is one of the great turning points in the early church, and it's the conversion of Saul. But as part of Saul's deliverance, God speaks to a disciple named Ananias. In Acts chapter 9, verse 10, it says, "There was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias, and to him said the Lord in a vision, Ananias. And he said, Behold, I am here, Lord. And the Lord said unto him," now this is guidance, this is word of knowledge, word of wisdom, "Arise and go into the street which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he prays, and hath seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him, that he might receive his sight. Then Ananias answered, Lord, I've heard by many of this man how much evil he hath done to thy saints at Jerusalem, and here he hath authority from the chief priests to bind all that call on thy name. But the Lord said unto him," to Ananias, "Go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake." And Ananias, verse 17, went. Now, was Ananias initiating this by asking God if he could go minister to Saul? No. Really, the indication would be that Ananias didn't want anything to do with Saul. You know, he had to overcome that to go and minister to Saul. But who initiated this guidance? God did. But Ananias was receptive, and Ananias recognized the guidance when it came. See, in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Now, when the guidance comes, we need to learn to recognize it. And there's a great section of scripture in the Old Testament. Let's go to 1 Samuel chapter 3. I mentioned last night that most great percentage of the instruction of the how and the what of these manifestations is covered in the Old Testament and the Gospels, because these manifestations, of course, existed before Pentecost. And this is a tremendous chapter to teach about how to receive revelation. It's 1 Samuel chapter 3. In verse 1 it says, "And the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli." Eli was the high priest in Jerusalem. "And the word of the Lord was precious in those days. There was no open vision." The word of the Lord being precious, no open vision, there was no one who was really acknowledging God consistently that God could work with and direct. And as we'll see, as part of the major reason of this is because Eli was copped out. And it came to pass, verse 2, "At that time when Eli was laid down in his place and his eyes began to wax dim that he could not see, and ere the lamp of God went out in the temple of the Lord where the ark of God was, and Samuel was laid down to sleep." Now, the lamp of God in the temple represented God's presence. Maybe this is an indication of how far things had deteriorated in Eli's life and in Israel at that time, where the lamp of God went out. But Samuel was there and he was laid down to sleep. Verse 4, it says, "That the Lord called Samuel, and he answered, Here am I." Okay, so God called Samuel. You know, called him by name, and Samuel heard it, right? And he responded, "Here am I." Must have been rather clear. Verse 5, "And Samuel ran unto Eli and said, Here am I, for thou callest me." Hey, when he heard this voice, who did he think was calling him?
Eli.
Eli. But again, it must have been clear. You know, if I call you, Susan, is that clear? No. Doug's calling me. Well, he thought it was Eli calling him. Eli responded, I called not, lie down again. And he went and lay down. And the Lord called yet again, Samuel. And Samuel rose and went to Eli and said, Here am I, for thou did call me. Is Samuel receiving revelation? Yes. Is he recognizing it? No. And he answered, Eli answered, I called not, my son, lie down again. Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, neither was the word of the Lord yet revealed unto him. Samuel would have been very familiar with the scriptures, the written scriptures at this point in his life. But he did not yet know about receiving revelation. You could say he did not yet know the revealed word or receiving what it was to receive revelation. Verse 8, the Lord called Samuel again the third time, and he arose and went to Eli and said, Here am I, for thou did call me. And now, after this third time, Eli perceived that the Lord had called the child. It took a little bit to get through old Eli's, you know, sort of thick skull. He hadn't been teaching Samuel about how God worked. He hadn't been receiving guidance and revelation himself. But finally it gets through to him. He perceives that the Lord had called the child. Therefore Eli said unto Samuel, Go lie down, and it shall be, if he shall call thee, that thou shalt say, Speak, Lord, for thy servant hears. So Samuel went and lay down in his place. And the Lord came and stood and called as at other times. Remember, God doesn't call all the time, but he calls at different times. Here it is, another time. He calls as at different other times. Samuel, Samuel. Then Samuel answered, Speak, for thy servant hears. What is Samuel learning? He's learning to recognize the revelation that God is giving. This is a lesson for all of us. God does give revelation. He gives it in different ways at different times, but God does give it. We need to learn to recognize it. This is what Samuel is learning. Here's the revelation that's given to Samuel, verse 11. The Lord said to Samuel, Behold, I will do a thing in Israel. God's going to do his thing. At which both the ears of everyone that hear it shall tingle. In that day I will perform against Eli all things which I have spoken concerning his house, which when I begin, I will also make an end. For I have told him that I will judge his house forever for the iniquity which he knows, because his sons made themselves vile, and he restrained them not. And therefore I have sworn unto the house of Eli, that the iniquity of Eli's house shall not be purged with sacrifice nor offering forever. It's quite a revelation given to the young man. You know, you'd have to say it's pretty heavy, it's pretty deep. But it was given to Samuel. And Samuel lay until the morning and opened the doors of the house of the Lord, and Samuel feared to show Eli the vision. And Eli called Samuel and said, Samuel, my son. And he answered, Here am I. And he said, What is the thing that the Lord hath said unto thee? I pray thee, hide it not from me. God do so to thee, and more also, if thou hide anything from me of all the things that he said unto thee. And Samuel told him how much? Every whit, and hid nothing from him. And he, Eli, said, It is the Lord. Let him do what seemeth him good. And Samuel grew, and the Lord was with him, and did let none of his words fall to the ground. And all Israel, from Dan even to Beersheba, knew that Samuel was established to be a prophet of the Lord. And the Lord appeared again in Shiloh, for the Lord revealed himself to Samuel in Shiloh by, what? The word of the Lord. What a wonderful chapter of instruction about how to receive revelation. If we're going to receive revelation, we have to understand how to recognize when God is speaking to us. Is he going to speak unto us all in the same way? No. But does he speak to his people? Yes. Look at something quickly here. 1 Samuel 9. A little bit later, this is an indication of Samuel's walk with God. And this is when Samuel's involved in anointing Saul as the first king of Israel. But it says in verse 15, "Now the Lord had told Samuel," where? "In his ear," we're in 1 Samuel 9:15. "Now the Lord had told Samuel," where? "In his ear, a day before Saul came, saying," and then what follows is the revelation of what's going to happen the following day. How did God speak to Samuel in this particular instance? In his ear. Right, he heard it. See, he heard it. Does that mean that God is always going to speak to you in your ear? No, we could read, I have in my notes, Acts 16, where Paul received a vision at night. Man of Macedonia said, "Come on over to Macedonia and help us." Paul received that revelation as a what? Vision. What's a vision? Something you see. You know, one of you described to me yesterday how God showed you some things in a vision and how unique it was for this individual to see the revelation. You know, God works in different ways. Now, it will be in ways that we can understand. I have heard people, teachers, describe revelation as being a still, small voice. Have you ever heard that? It's one of the ways it's described. But it's just one of the ways. Does it always mean that revelation is going to be a still, small voice? No. There's different ways to receive revelation. Our part of the bargain is to be constantly aware of God. If there's one profit or benefit that could come for all of us from this family camp, is the continual expectation of God working in us, because he does. Our job is to recognize it. You know, Samuel learned to recognize the revelation that God was giving. At first, he didn't. Evidently, when we read Acts 9, Ananias knew how revelation worked because he immediately recognized it. He knew it was God talking to him. So, God does work in his people. He gives us needed guidance, but he gives it to us in different ways, and he gives it to us at different times. Our job is to look unto him. It's to listen unto him. It's to wait on him. It's to expect from him. In all thy ways, be constantly aware of him, and he shall direct thy paths. So at this point, we're going to break. We're going to go down the hill for a little devotion with motion and a coffee break, and then we'll come back and learn more about how revelation is received. Okay? God bless you.